The relationship between buildings and God's people has varied throughout the years, and we've got two readings with a prayers in between. So the first reading comes from the Old Testament, and we're going to read these readings together. So if you read everything that's in bold, I'll read whatever isn't in bold. This comes from the building of Solomon's temple in 2 Corinthians. Then King Solomon prayed,
Lord, you have chosen to live in clouds and darkness. Now I have built a majestic temple for you, a place for you to live in forever.
All the people of Israel were standing there. The king turned to bless them.
Praise the Lord God of Israel.
But can you, O God, really live on earth among men and women? Not even all heaven is large enough to hold you. So how can this temple that I have built be large enough? Lord my God, I am your servant. Listen to my prayer and grant the requests I make to you. Hear my prayers and the prayers of the people of Israel when they face this place and pray. In your home in heaven, hear us and forgive us. And the reading from the New Testament comes from the Acts of the Apostles, obviously in a way to tell us of that first day of Pentecost. So that comes up now, and we'll read this as we've just done. When the apostles met together with Jesus, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time give the kingdom back to Israel? Jesus said to them, the times and seasons are set by my Father's own authority, and it is not for you to know when they will be. But when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will be filled with power, and you will be witnesses for me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. After saying this, he was taken up to heaven as they watched him, and a cloud hid him from their sight. When the day of Pentecost came, all the believers were gathered together in one place. Suddenly, there was a noise from the sky, which sounded like a strong wind blowing, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then they saw what looked like tongues of fire, which spread out and touched each person there. They were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to talk in other languages as the Spirit enabled them to speak. There were Jews living in Jerusalem, religious people who come from every country in the world. When they heard this noise, a large crowd gathered. They were all excited because each one of them heard the believers speaking in their own language. In amazement and wonder, they exclaimed, these people who are talking like this are Galileans. How is it then that all of us hear them speaking in our own native languages? Both Jews and Gentiles converted to Judaism, and some of us are from Crete and Arabia. Yet all of us hear them speaking in our own languages about the great things that God has done. Amazed and confused, they kept asking each other, what does this mean? As this is an all-age service, there's lots of things that are going to happen. Now, I'm going to need a lot of help. Now, there are two tables there with things on. One of them's going to be moved by my able assistant slightly. And I want the young people to come down because I want you to produce a poster for the best church ever. All right? And there's going to be things there. And hopefully some ideas will come as we're talking in a moment. And actually, if any adults want to help, you're welcome to help. I'm well aware that a lot of people don't learn by listening to boring people like me. They learn by doing things, and you're welcome to come and do and enjoy yourself as well. So don't feel, you know, at all sort of inhibited by that. You are being given permission to become a young person again. How about that? So come on down. And while they're coming down, I'm going to read you a little bit more of that passage from the Acts of the Apostles, because after everybody was amazed at what was happening, Peter preached, and he told people about Jesus. He told how they needed to know Jesus, and that would transform their lives. And the passage sort of goes on a little bit like this. At the end of his sermon, Peter said this: "Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah." When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what should we be doing?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you, for your children, for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and held everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. And every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favour of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Well, that's not a bad picture, is it, really? That's really something we would like to see. So maybe you're thinking about putting that on that poster, all right? You're not listening to me, are you? Don't worry about it. You get on and do the poster. Well, what we need to look at here, in a sense, as they're doing all that, is, well, what can a building say about what's going on? Because we read about Chronicles, and really, Solomon realised the building he built wasn't big enough for God. So what was it saying? It still said something. And our building, what's it saying? Well, let's look at certain things, if I can make them work. This is a place of welcome. That's what was happening at Pentecost. There was God was saying, welcome into the new kingdom. Welcome those who trust Jesus. Welcome those who want to know a better life. And this building is a building of welcome. And our glass doors, I think, are a good sign about that. I've often moaned at churches in the past who've got wooden doors, they keep shut. That's no good. Because people need to look in and see something before they come in. It's not easy going into a building with doors that are shut. So it's great that they're like that. And it's great that they're like that so that people, we can show out as well. We can put things out there that people can then see. So that's one thing. So about welcome, think about that. Okay, they're not listening. It's all worship as well has to happen. There we go. Lovely band of people. So we have space for that. I mean, we used to have a big organ up there which covered up that lovely plaque. But that was what was needed then. People in the days of Solomon had sort of trumpet type things made out of the horns of animals. That must have been really quite exciting, I think, blowing those. But the point is, this is a place where we focus on God, where we recognise that he is the Lord, not just of this place, but all places. And we offer to him what we can of our worship, of our praise, of our confession too. We'll say we're sorry because we need to do that. We'll offer our thanks. And that's something we'll talk about a bit later in a moment. But worship, that's one of the things the building says. Learning. There we go. We have the Bible to learn from. We need to discover what God is saying to us, not just in the days gone by, but what he says now. Because that's the wonderful thing about the Bible. It's alive. It still is relevant. It still speaks. God takes things in it and makes us realise that that's meant for me. What might be happening today for any of us? What bit of what we've read is God really impressing on you? You know, and don't think what he's impressing on other people, so-and-so needs that. No, come on. What do each of us need to hear? And we need to remember that Christ is amongst us. Jesus is with us. And that's what that table is about. That's why we put it there today, to remind us that Jesus is present here, inspiring our worship, being part of our life, dwelling inside of us and with us. We are never apart from him, but the building helps us remember that, because we come particularly here as a community of God people. God's people. It's not just on our own that we come to know God. It's with other people. We need one another, most especially, as we need Jesus. And that's what this table says as well. So there is community around this table because Jesus is the one that we're all into. And I was thinking, how can I express this? How can I express this wonder? Well, I suddenly thought, well, it's as though we're sort of linked with Jesus, you see, and in all sorts of ways. Oh God, have some of those. Go on, throw them about, because this is a celebration. You do know that, don't you? But what I want you to do is, if you get hold of them, would you like to bring some ends up here and just tie them around that cross? Because this is what this is about: us being linked to Jesus in ways that are beautiful, that ways that are alive, ways that are happy, ways that are colourful. So come on, tie them on the cross, please. But really what Pentecost was about, and what this church is meant to represent, and it does represent, is the reality of Jesus' presence changes people. That it makes us, well, better, really. It makes us fuller people. It enables us to become what we're actually meant to be, which is people knowing God and loving God and being loved by God, and people loving other people. Because those are the two great commands that Jesus gave. Love the Lord your God and love your neighbour as yourself. And so this is a place that needs to express that. And in so many ways it does. There's the toddlers groups, there's Friday fellas, there's all sorts of things that go on because that expresses it. I'm not sure what's going on back there, but stop it. I hope you're getting on with those because you're going to come and show us in a minute, but we're nearly finished. So building the best church ever. What is the best church? Well, the best church ultimately is people. You know, this building is lovely, but it's the people that make it what it is. Literally made it, as we've been hearing from Helen in many ways, and the same has been happening now. It's people in whom God's Spirit lives that are the church, and that's what we always need to remember and seek to tell people. And we're people together in one place. That was said, if you remember at the beginning of that reading, they were all together in one place. In those days they didn't have church buildings, but of course they needed to gather somewhere, so presumably it was a big house or something. But the important thing was being together. That's what this building helps us to do, is somewhere where we can be together, where we can actually learn of God from one another and show God's love and care to one another as well. And it's very much about telling how great God is. That's why worship is such an important part of what we do. We don't just sit and listen. We offer ourselves in our songs as much as we're able. Whether we sing well or not, it doesn't matter. We're offering praise and thanks to God because he's so great and has done so much for us. And we seek to show truly God's love in every way. You know that bit at the end of the passage that I read out, where people sold things so that there was nobody poor amongst the community? Because that's what love drove them to actually give what they could to help anybody in need. And again, that's part of what it is to be the family of God. And buildings can help this. That's what we've been saying. Buildings really do help us do that. And that's really what needs to always lead into thanksgiving. That's why services like this are meant to be and are services of thanksgiving. And two things, just to conclude that. You've all been given a card with something that you could write a prayer on. And it's particularly, it says trying not to damage anything, to give thanks. But also to pray as well. And you might want to think about that, and as we're just going to look at the moment at the posters. And we'd like you, towards the end of the service, just to come up and pin your card up on that wall. And we're trying to produce a wall of prayer. This would have been part of the picnic. which unfortunately we haven't been able to have because of the dodgy weather. So we brought it inside for now. But let's just give thanks for what we've seen today. Lord, we thank you for the creativity of the young people and those who've been working with them today and every week. We thank you for that. But we thank you that this is an expression of your love, of how real you are amongst us, in creativity and in forgiveness and in sharing good news. And we bless you and ask that our hearts may always be aware of you and your goodness, not simply on the day of Pentecost, but every day, and give you the praise that is truly yours. Amen.